one of the brothers asked me last week if I'm nervous. And I guess in the words of our great youth that we have here today, yeah. So, you know, I need your help with this. Oh, there we go, there we go. This church has been a great blessing in my life. I hope we got this thing hooked up right. As Pastor said, I pretty much grew up in this church. Many years ago, my mother was seeking a church. My mother and my brother were seeking a church, my older brother. And through working through Joseph Corey with some of our men here, and some of them preaching to my brother, witnessing to him, he started coming to this church. And when my mother found out that, then she started bringing us to this church. So it's been a great blessing to us in our family. Pastor said to keep this 20 minutes. I got a lot of notes. This might be a little hard, but I'll try to get through this. I'm going to stick to, like Brother Keith said, I'm going to stick with the stuff here and just see if we can get through it. I'm fighting a little bit of a sore throat, but I'll get through it. You know, I'm one of those guys that wear my emotions on my sleeve, as they say, and you know, you might get some of that, so please bear with me. Love you, brother. Love you too. Thank you. You know, this church really does mean a lot to me. And as Pastor said, in a short while, I'm going to be leaving. And I think that's going to be the hardest part out of everything. You know, I when Pastor asked me to preach, actually, I should talk about this, how Pastor asked me to preach. He kind of tricked me. last Wednesday, after the Wednesday night service, you know, the Lord laid it on my heart to ask Pastor Mike if I can preach before I leave. So sure enough, I go up to Pastor Mike. I say, Pastor Mike, do you think I could preach, you know, before I leave, preach on a Sunday morning? Not only did he say I could preach on a Sunday morning, but how would you like to preach on the anniversary? I was like, oh, okay. That was 10 days ago. So, and then and all week long, he's been, are you ready? Are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've just been nervous, but I'll get through it. Praise the Lord. So yeah, this church has definitely been a blessing in my life, and we have a very unique church, and I want to talk about that a little bit. But if we open our Bibles up to 1 Peter chapter 1, I now need these things called spectacles. Hey, not for nothing, but also I wanted to say that I really do like Pastor Dean's new cell phone rule, that if the cell phone rings, being a cop for 19 and a half years, that the whole, you have to buy the whole church Dunkin' Donuts. So guess what? You know, I'm excited about that. So I was actually gonna ask Pastor Mike if we could like team up, me, Pastor Mike, and Pastor Dean, because Pastor Mike has everybody's cell phone in the whole church. So as I'm preaching, maybe he can start dialing some numbers, and then we'll you know, so coffee will be on somebody. You in on that, Pastor? All right. Oh, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Okay, so now I got a couple of partners. I think I'll use Pastor Dean as the enforcer because he'll, you know, he's a tough cookie. He'll tackle you in the background there. But we open up our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we see we'll pick it up right in verse number 1. It says, I'll wait till everybody gets there. And it says, the elders which are among you I exalt, who am I also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of ye be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And I pray, Father, that you take me out of this equation, Father. And just let the word work through me to your flock, Father. I pray, Father, that your word will go forth and that we can grow as a church. I pray, Father, that this message, that somebody in this church may need it, Lord. And that it'll touch somebody's heart and that they can grow and just learn from it, Father. I thank you, Father, for this day. I thank you, Father, for this wonderful church of serving 39 years, Father. And I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I said, we have a unique church. We have pastors that that strive to glorify God and to feed the flock. They feed the flock through doctrine and through learning, through teaching. And we just love that. And they don't do it by constraint. They do it willingly and without not as a burden. And I looked at that and I say, you know, I didn't know if Pastor would agree, but I just wanted to say thank you, Pastor. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Pastor Dean. Thank you for loving us and striving that we can just grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you really think about it, not all churches are like that. You know, and it's very evident and very easy to see. You want to see that? Drive right out that parking lot and make a right-hand turn. Okay, that's all you have to do. Drive right out that parking lot. You know what the church... I know we're not supposed to compare here and there, but you know what? Doctrinally, we are supposed to compare. And you know what? You know what those churches down the block are getting? They're getting like Tuesday night poker night or Thursday night bingo night or maybe the other church I saw, you can get your car washed. You know, or you can get maybe a good cupcake or muffin. But you know what? They can't even touch our ladies' muffins and cupcakes. We got a, so I know that. But you know, we definitely have a unique church that served the Lord through simply this book. You know. You know, we also have a founding pastor that I love so dearly. And Mrs. S., I just love you dearly also. I don't know where you are. I hope you're here somewhere. Oh, she left. She's sitting right there. But, you know, we have a pastor, the founding pastor that started a work many years ago. That had a youth group in Ohio. And I remember going to his funeral, and they spoke about the youth group and how big it was. And how and he left that youth group not knowing which way it was going to go. And he brought some of the families that are still in his church today. He brought some of those families with him. And not knowing which way that it was going to go, but he knew that if he stuck by the book, as Pastor Mello used to say, stick with the stuff, you know, he knew it would work. I guess he knew Romans chapter 8, verse 22. It says, and we know that all things work together for good that love him. And they love God. And he knew that. You know, I keep a special photo in my Bible. And this is it. This is it. I keep this in my Bible because this photo was taken downstairs in Fellowship Hall. And after we took this picture, Pastor Mel, as he most often did, he put his hands on my shoulder and looked me straight in the eye. And the first thing he said was, I love you. And the second thing he said was, of course, stick with the stuff. And we know that many times that's the way he was. So I keep this is a special, special picture that I always keep in my Bible. He was a special man and we miss him very dearly. Pastor Dean always says that we've read the last chapter. And sure enough, we have. And we know how this thing's going to end. Amen?
Amen.
It's well, as Pastor said recently, I made a decision in my life to move my family down to Florida, and you know, I'm not gonna get into all the reasons why, but I think one of the reasons why I found in Psalm 90:12 it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may use them and apply them unto wisdom." And I think in a ways I wanted to be wise in my decisions, but you know, one of the things that's been really tough for me is that is to be patient. You know, I'm here now. I'm here by myself. I'm used to my little Gabby running around and, you know, Gabby stop, Gabby this, Gabby that, you know, and you know, it's different now. You know, it's really different. But I think that the Lord's laid on my heart that I need to be patient. And I think during this experience that that's what the Lord is trying to show me, that I need to be patient. And I'll get through it, you know. And I think that when Pastor asked me to preach, you know, you think, you know, what am I going to preach on? And I think the Lord told me to preach on something that I'm going through. And maybe be able to help one of my fellow church brothers or sisters that may be going through the same thing. So I want to preach today on being patient. You know, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dean spoke about being teachable. And the first thing that I found out in being patient is that you have to be teachable. You know, in the police department, you know, I was one of those type of cops in the beginning of my career that I was always wanted to run to the job. I wanted to be the first one there. And I wanted to be the first one hands-on. I wanted to be the first one doing this and that. But it's not always like that. And later on, as I got older and I got probably more wiser, I remember one particular job in particular that I was working in Toad Hill, and I was by myself, and I actually, it was a summer day, and there was a group of kids in front of one of the buildings, and about 10, and there's another group of men of the three standing in front of another building, and I said, oh, this is a good place for me to stay, so I parked my scooter there, and I was actually riding around in one of those little box scooters, you know, that we drive around in, you know. And so sure enough, I parked my scooter there, and I'm thinking, you know, if anything's going to happen, it's probably going to be these kids here, you know. Sure enough, a little while later, two of the guys that were with the three start arguing. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go, you know. And I'm like, the third guy there, he kind of like broke them up, and they probably said, look, the police are right there. What are you going to do, you know? So sure enough, the guy runs into the building. Well, about 5 minutes later, the door of the building comes flying open, and this guy proceeds to start stabbing the guy numerous times. I'm sitting right there, and I'm like, so I take my police scooter, and I park it in an area where the guy couldn't get back, but all he could do was run back into the building. So so right away I get on my radio, and that's where the patience comes in, because I could have easily ran into the building and chased the guy. I'm by myself, and I'm thinking, you know, if I do that, you know, he may have a gun, he may have a knife. I know he has a knife. He's going to stab me with it. So what did I do? I sat back and I called for police help. Our code for help is 1013. So I called the 1013, and sure enough, all my buddies start coming, and I directed them in a way that would help us catch the guy, to the point where instead of the guy running out one of the other buildings, he was blocked off. And actually, my partners that came, they were able to lead him right back to me. So not only did I make the arrest, I was able to recover the weapon, and I was able to tend to the guy that was stabbed on the ground. You know, so that's where I think that was like the first time where I realized that, you know, this thing called patience might work. You know, it really might work. If we open up our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 5. Here we go. Okay. It says, look at verse number 14. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are on. This is actually a good verse for police officers also. When I was reading it, I pointed it out to one of my co-workers, and I said, you know, this is something that we can use. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. You see, one thing I noticed in that verse is that God's commanding us to do that. It's not a question. It's not a maybe so, but it's a command. And God says that we should be patient towards all men, not just the saved, but the unsaved. You know, if we also let's go to James chapter 5. And we pick it up in verse number 7. It says, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." Verse number 8 says, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." You know, not only is it a command from God, as we saw, but it's also he also gives us the time frame of when to do it. It says, until the coming of the Lord. So, and as we know, the Lord hasn't come yet. So we have to be patient towards all men. But also, if you see in verse 8, I see a direct connection there that it says, being patient, establish your hearts. It also has a direct connection to your heart. You know, it's said that patience is a virtue. And if we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, we can see that. I'm in the wrong one. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not there. I tell you, your nerves get to you. I guess Pastor Mike said, if you're not, it's good to be nervous. But it said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." You see, patience is that learned behavior, a moral standard. It's something that we can grow on. It's something that that people look on us and can see on us. But did you notice that direct connection on that verse? What is patience directly connected to in that verse? Godliness. Direct connection to godliness. Last time we saw that it was directed to your heart. This time it's directed to godliness. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts." You want to find God? Do you want to find God? Where does it start? In your heart. That's where it starts, guys. Let's look at an example in the Bible of a godly patience. Let's go to Exodus chapter 24. It says in verse number 9, it says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heavens in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand also. They saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law of commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us, until we come again, you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters, let him do unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and the cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And in the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went up into the mount of the cloud and got up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. You know, I was looking at that and I said, you know, I see three things there that kind of stick out in my mind. I looked at, the first thing I saw is that Moses listened. If we look at verse number 12, it says, And the Lord said unto Moses. So Moses is listening. The second thing that I see is in the next verse. It says, Moses obeyed. And the third thing that I see is Moses was patient. Because in the last verse, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, I think, you know, what if that would be today? Lord, Super Bowl is coming up. We're a few weeks away from Black Friday. I need that 10% off of that scarf that's going to be, you know, you think of all the excuses that we would have. And it's just like, you know, it's just, you know, Moses didn't make any excuses. He did it without murmuring. He did it without complaining. And he listened. He listened, he obeyed, and he was patient about it. I think as First Bible Church, you know, I think many times this is something that we probably need. You know, we can't control everything that happens in our lives, but we certainly can control how we respond to it. You know, it's how are we going to react to these to things that happen in our lives? Are we going to? I remember one particular time. I like to use police stories, but I remember one particular time I was doing patrol, and I'm stopped at a red light, and cars are turning off the expressway, and I see this one particular van, I think I know that guy, you know, and the van turns, and sure enough, I see a bunch of scripture signs on the back of the van, so I said, now I know that guy, you know, so I tell my partner, I said, hey, let's pull that car over. So sure enough, we pull the car over, and we're sitting in the car for a couple minutes, and I could tell, you know, he's kind of squirming a little bit, you know, he's like he's thinking about it a little bit, and I don't think he's here right now, so I'm probably not his brother Eli. All right. So, you know, I don't think he's upstairs, but it was the way that he reacted. You know, he didn't fly off the handle. You guys see those shows on TV, the cop shows, where people fly off the handle because they get pulled over or they're going to get a summons or whatever it may be. But, you know, we're going to go through some things. As a person, we're going to go through some things. Maybe it's sickness, or maybe it's pain. But we have to realize that sometimes we go through things for a reason. If we turn our Bibles to Second Corinthians, chapter 1. If we look there, it says in verse number 6, it says, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual and enduring of the same suffering which is we also suffered. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You know, how are we going to handle these things that we go through? Are we going to turn and run? Or are we going to murmur and complain as we saw that Moses didn't do? How are we going to handle those things? You know, we also see in Galatians chapter 5, I'll just read it for the sake of time. It says in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. And also in Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. You really think about it. You know, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he was thinking of us. You know, and he didn't murmur or complain. You know, many times it's said, you know, it wasn't a fair trade. You know, and I look at myself and I'm like, Lord, you're getting the bottom of the pit. You get in the bottom of the pit, Lord. But Lord, I want to be better. And one of the things I learned through patience is that it will build you to be better. We also look over in Romans chapter 5. We look at it, pick it up in verse number 3. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." I remember as when I was younger, you know, my mother would take us somewhere, and I forgot I wanted to say a special thank you to my mother for bringing us to this church. I totally forgot. But Mom, thank you. My mom's here today. Thank you for loving us and caring us enough that, you know, you thought about us growing up in a godly church that we needed Jesus Christ. And last week, Pastor Mike preached on a roll call in Romans chapter 16. And I just thought about how many women are there. And Mom, I thank you. I thank you for, I really do. I thank you, Mom. But I'm sorry for going off on a little bit of handle there. But and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, not knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. Like I was saying, my mother used to say, we went to somebody's house or we went to a store or whatever it may be, you know, if we stepped out of line, my mother would always say, "You're trying my patience." You know, did you ever get that? "You're trying my patience." And we know that if she said it a couple of times, we know when we got home, we were in big trouble, you know. So, your patience is going to be tried. Your patience is going to be tried. It says, I told you, we can't control how we're going to, the things that are going to happen in our lives, but we definitely can control how we respond to them. We definitely can know how we're going to handle them. In James 1:3, it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And in the next verse, it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You know, I think of all the jobs as a police officer that we go through. You think of how many times, do we go to jobs just because somebody flies off the handle, and you know, or they just don't know how to handle it. You know, whether it be a domestic job or something with drugs or something with, you know, whatever it may be. You know, it's not always criminal, I should say. It's sometimes it's the aided thing or. But whatever it may be, you know, it's many times we go to those jobs because it's somebody didn't know how to handle it, you know. And I think about pastors, you know, it's you think of it, you know, how many times do they go through counseling sessions or where they help people, you know, through the Word of God, you know, to get through problems, and you know, that's a big step that when we do have problems that we do it in a godly manner. You know, we do it with patience. We do it with, and they don't get me wrong. They do it with joy, I'm sure. And you know, but they do it through God's word. Well, the end result on that is that if we are willing to trust God and patiently wait, He will deliver us. And when trouble comes our way, I was looking at this one particular verse. I mean. Yeah, let's turn over to Psalms chapter 40. And if we look right in verse number 1, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to the lie." And the first thing when I saw that, I said, you know, we can never forget that we were the ones in that miry clay. We were the ones headed for that pit. And as I said before, that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we were the ones headed for that. So we can never forget where we were going. And, you know, God wants to strengthen us. You know, he wants to strengthen us. He doesn't want to leave us in that that pit. He wants to strengthen us through his word so that he can build us up in that pit, from that pit. I was looking in Colossians, and I'll just read it. Colossians 1:11 says, strengthen with all might, according to his glory, power, unto the presence, unto the patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You know, the world looks at patience and I guess as humbleness as a weakness. But God looks at it, as I just read, as a strength. Amen. Amen. God looks at it as you are strong. You look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as what? A good soldier in Jesus Christ. A good soldier in Jesus Christ. So when I like to watch those military shows. I know we have a couple of military guys in here, and I like to watch those shows because you see why do they go through so many shows? Why do they have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, take a log and put it on their head and hold it on top of the thing and just stand there? You know, and they have their reasons, and they're probably saying the same thing sometimes. Why are we doing this? You know, but you know the drill instructor knows why they're doing it. The drill instructor knows why they're doing it. Do you think God doesn't know why he's doing it? God knows why he's doing it. God knows why he's putting us through what we're going through. In James 1:4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, we want to be perfect. It's part of it is being patient. I love when the Lord repeats himself, and I found a verse in Psalm 27:14. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay? I love it when he says it twice, because he really means it. And this part, just for the sake of time, I know everybody's hungry. It's hard to be the preacher before meal. I got to hurry up. Don't start throwing things at me, all right? But, maybe this is a good sermon to preach. But, you know, many years we've been playing on the softball team. We have a church softball team in the so-called Christian league. But in the beginning of the season, every year, we always meet downstairs and we lay over the guidelines. And Mike Damiano simply tells us, you know, it's not about softball and it's about testimony. It's about being a good testimony. And I just love the fact that many times after we finish whipping a team, playing a team, you know, I just love the fact that they come over to us and they say, you know, we really like playing your team. Because we don't yell at the other team, and there's no arguing with the umpires or anything like that. We're just simply there to have good fellowship and maybe be a good testimony to the other churches. And I found a few verses that, and one of the things about attributes about being patient is controlling our attitude. And I found a few verses to just go by that. And I'll just run through it. It's in if you can jot it down if you'd like. But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside weight. Every weight and the sun which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In Romans 8:25, it says, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. First part we saw, we run. The second part we saw, we hope. The third thing I see there is in Psalms 37, verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So the third thing we do is rest. And the fourth thing, Romans 12:12, it says, rejoicing in hope. Patience and tribulation. That's one of your fourfold mentions. Three begin with R and the other one begins with H. but you know, just a few things on how we got to handle things. You know, how we have to handle things. Run. We have, let me look at it again before I mess it up. Run. We have to run. We have to hope. And we have to rest. And we have to rejoice. All in patience. Oh, man. What does patience have to do to offer for us? In second, see, we read it already, but let's go back to it real quick. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, in verse number 4, and like I said, we read a few of these already, but it says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." One of the things Pastor wants us to do is he wants us to be a fruitful church. And as I'm looking at that, I see this is how we become fruitful. By looking at that divine nature that we read in verse number 4 there, that divine nature, we should try to strive to receive that divine nature. You know, that's how we become fruitful. You know, we've been here for 39 years, and if the Lord should tarry, I pray that this church is here for another 39 years, and that we're doing the same thing that we're doing right now. When I got here, we were singing the same songs that we sing today. And you know what? I hope for the next 39 years we're singing the same songs because they glorify God. I'm going to close with this. Last week we sang a song at the Lord's Supper. And by the end of the song, I noticed that there probably wasn't a dry eye in the place. I'm not going to sing. But I will share just the lyrics. It says, "Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, brothers and sisters, memories made. A pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and the blood that can save. Amen. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wing. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. Amen. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I can count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good. He's been good to this church for 39 years, and he's definitely been good to me for a long time. Praise God I got saved in this church. I praise God that we have pastors that love his book and that and follow his book. And just thank the Father for what he's done in my life. Pastor Mike.